All right. Today is November 12th, 2021. We will begin our Board of Equalization hearings. Present are Alicia Greenaway, Greg Garcia, two members of our board, and Joe Chris, our chairman of the board. Our clerk to the board, Jennifer Mendelis, and myself, Shirley Jones, temporarily sitting here. Time is now 9 o'clock, and we will hear petition BE 2021-03 for parcel 1262-40291, and owners Jeffrey and Margaret Crew. And also in attendance representing the assessor's office is Brian Moneymaker. This is a residential petition, and so therefore it will be 20 minutes. And the appellant and the appraiser will both have 5 minutes each to highlight points of the evidence they provided. The last 10 minutes will be for rebuttal and questions from the board. Okay? So, Chairman?
Good morning. Welcome to the Franklin County Board of Equalization. The board members are Alicia Greenaway, Gregory Garcia, and myself, Joe Christ, as the chair. Our clerk is Jennifer Mendelis. The board is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers that are to some extent judicial as those of certain federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our role is to review the facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the property as of January 1 of the assessment year. The law grants presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the petitioner to provide the prove that the assessment is incorrect. The hearing will be recorded and all testimony is under oath. Our clerk will ask you now to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
To each of you who will be testifying today, affirm that the testimony you are about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Following your hearing, the board will meet to weigh the evidence and make a final determination. We will issue a written decision to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals, and a notice of the appeal opportunity is at the bottom of the written decision. The board is in receipt of all documentary data provided by you and the assessor, and we have reviewed it. The appellant will present your case first, and then the assessor will present his or her case. Please begin with your presentation of your case, Mr. Crew.
Can I start in?
Yes.
Okay, if you can hear me. Mm-hmm. And please allow for me, I'm a little hearing impaired from your side. This is pretty simple. I don't have a big dispute with the assessor folks on the home, but I really feel there's been an error in regards to the property portion of that, not the land. Mm-hmm. And I discussed this with somebody in the assessor's office. I'm sorry, I don't have my notes to remember who it was, but that was the first course, was to work with them to try to mitigate this before it came to the board. And I think it's just a misunderstanding. It comes down to, again, to the land. I know what Mr. Moneymaker's done, and they have algorithms, all that fancy stuff to compute the way the homes have been skyrocketing in this area, and I appreciate that. And again, we don't have an argument with that, but there's clearly a mistake in the land because let's look, if we can, at the plat piece, which I think is probably page 5 in your... It's oriented north. It shows the lots. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the crux of the argument is that we're here on the east side. We have a great view of two circles and farmland. Beyond the hill, on the backside of the hill, are these two subject lots that were used for comps. And they have a limited river view and some mountain view. And they sold for $130 and $135 last year. But they're still a block away from the river lots, which are more expansive and more expensive. But at any rate, the assessor's office took these lots as comps and then said, well, you have the same view and work that they do. And in my photos, you can see the appellant's backyard, us, there's nothing but trees, which is what the buyer relies on. They don't care what it looked like 30 years ago. We moved in 22 years ago. People have blocked the view completely, so we have no river view. So our $90,000 lot is not worth $130,000 or $40,000 because we have no view whatsoever. And the other thing that is the bone of contention between us is that this lot that sold for $130,000 here is now listed at $200,000, and whoever the young lady was in the office I spoke to, I can't remember her name, okay, said, well, that's $200,000, that's factored into the valuation of your lot. Well, we're under oath, and I'm assuming you accept hearsay evidence. I interviewed the lot owner and his parents. They're nice people from Kyrgyzstan. The son Victor's building a home in this southern lot for his folks, and then a spec home for sale on this lot. Well, when he started in here last fall, lumber went up 800%. They quit and decided they'd sell this lot if they could. The $200,000 is a, I don't want to sell to any price offer. If anybody's crazy enough to pay it, they'll take the $70,000. They don't intend to sell that lot. So that is not a true valuation. And I have sworn to you, that is hearsay evidence I've gotten from the family that owns this property. They don't intend to sell it, and that is not a realistic price. My whole argument here today is we feel these lots are probably appropriately priced at $130,000 because they have limited view, and again, that's in your packet. We show limited river and mountain views from those other two lots, whereas we have none. So I just think it's unfair to characterize our position on the east side with the ag view as comparable and at the same value to a buyer as these people who have a nice view of the mountains and limited view of the river. And that's the total sum of it. And you say, well, you know, you're not here arguing about a shopping center or an apartment complex. But still, for us, it's $400 or $500 of tax a year that we don't think we should have to pay because we just don't think this is right. And that's pretty much my pitch. It's pretty simple. I can't argue with, again, with their calculations. We know everything went up. Unfortunately, I think they're going to come back down. But in the market where we would be a seller and be a buyer, we think the assessment's wrong. So we're agreeing to $485,000 rather than $533,000. The difference being in what we see as the real value of the lot, which, by the way, is less than half an acre. It's 0.42 acres with a 23-year-old home. So not fighting with you guys, just think that there's a piece of evidence here that hasn't been introduced, and I hope you accept the hearsay evidence because I have taken an oath, which means a lot to me. And that's the story of this family. They don't intend to sell that lot, and maybe in the future they'll build on it, but that's the value. Okay. I'm done.
Thank you. Thanks.
Sorry.
Okay. First of all, I'll just go through the packet here, starting on page one. Single-family residence, 2,278 square feet with an 804 square foot garage. Does have a small little utility building of 192 square feet. We do. We only show a what's called a river view one, which is the smallest of our river view influences. We added an influence to this lot just for river view. If there was a view in it, the trees aside, we still had to at least acknowledge that there was a view, and so we did it at the smallest amount, which is 10%. That's all we did. So that is where we considered that. Now, page seven, you'll see the picture of the house that we have. Page eight is a sketch of the house and the utility building. Page nine, just state again, in the state of Washington, state law requires that assessors appraise property at 100% of its true and fair market value in money according to the highest and best use of the property. Fair market value or true value is the amount of money that a willing and unobligated buyer is willing to pay a willing and unobligated seller. Okay? That's what we strive for in everything that we do, is get to 100% of market value. It's very hard to do, but we strive for it. Go on to the neighborhood description. He's in neighborhood 431, which is it's Northwest Pasco, basically Taylor Flats west to the river, and everything south of Fur, and all those properties that are under 30 acres but over one. Okay. Now, concerning the vacant lots along Terrace and McDonald Drive. Okay, those are the two. He's on McDonald, and Terrace Drive is the other side, as he showed in the plat map. The vacant lots in Sunset Terrace Heights sell for less than the improved lots due to the zoning requirements set forth by Franklin County. The zoning for this area is RC1, Rural Community Zone, 1 acre minimum. The lots in this subdivision that sit between Terrace Drive and McDonald Drive are a half acre or less. These lots have a barrier entry. They have to coordinate approval from planning and building and the health department, including having a geotechnical survey completed. The vacant lots under 1 acre will need to be planned out according to the rules of the RC1 zone described below. The setback rules, placement of dwelling, and the permitting process, well and septic, to proceed with building require more steps than constructing a home that meets the 1 acre requirement. Therefore, the price of the vacant lot is less than an improved lot to account for the costs associated with increased permitting and size of the structures allowed. Once the home is built and improved with well and septic, the value increases due to the improvements. And that kind of explains the difference between the two values of the vacant lots and the improved lots. You have to spend the money, and then once it's there, your value's there. I mean, once you spent that money, you could pretty much bet that you're not going to sell it without trying to get that money that you spent to get there. You're going to want that money back. So, and then it explains below after that the rural community zone. It's basically 1 acre or less. Single family dwelling, nothing contained in this section shall be deemed to prohibit the use of gardening and fruit raising. One thing that I do want to kind of show you is on page 14, the minimum lot coverage is only 40%. That further decreases what you can do in these lots. That further dictates what you can do. So that is why they sell for less. Okay, now on to page 15. Now just back into just the general.
Your 5 minutes is over.
Okay.
So, you have 10 minutes for rebuttal, Mr. Crude?
No, he doesn't have 10 minutes.
Five minutes.
I can go ahead and talk now?
Rebuttal or ask questions.
Okay, well, I don't agree with this. The way they're devaluing this land. There were 11 houses we moved in there, and now there's about 40. Nobody's had trouble building a home. And some of those homes and garages and carports take up more than half the lot size, so I don't understand that argument at all. Those lots have been consistently selling for $130,000, $140,000. Off the river, on the river, they're $250,000 to $350,000. So I don't understand. Now you're trying to devalue the lots that were comped to. Those lots are valuable the way they are. $130,000. Our lot's not. Our buyer is not going to see any perceived value in a lot that has no view whatsoever.
I'll reiterate again that, we only give it a 10% view because there is a view there regardless. And we only gave it 10% because of where it's located. And then as far as the $130,000, I reiterate what I said earlier with the how much you got to spend. Once you've purchased the lot, you got to spend some money just to get it improved. And that's where the value moves up. And that is what we're trying to explain.
I guess my answer is we were at $78,000 for the lot the year before. I'm agreeing to raise that to 90, which is more than whatever 10% handicap you're using. But you want to jump it $68,000 or whatever, which is like a 80 or 90% increase in 1 year. It's just, I'm sorry, it's not reasonable. It's not fair.
Well,
I'll grant you $90,000. I'm giving you $12,000 increase, which is substantial, 15, 20%. But you want an 80% or 90% increase.
I understand that.
That's not fair.
I understand that. And I also understand that we're trying to be at 100% of market value. And that is what we're trying to get at. It's not the percentage of increase.
Then show me a lot on my side of the hill that's sold for that. There aren't any.
That's because everything is built out. Everything is built out on that side. There are no, I guess there's one on the corner that isn't. That,
one right beside me.
Yeah, and it's not for sale?
Not right now.
Yeah. So we have to go with the information that we have, and the information includes what the building department has required that is a barrier to entry, which lowers the price, but once you spend it, you're going to want it back, and it's reflective in the sale price.
I understand everybody has to put water and sewer, and that's $40,000 to $50,000. I mean, water and septic, understand that. And they know that in the cost. Builders already have that factored in. Before we go, do the board have any questions?
Well, that's the question. Mr. Garcia, do you have any questions? Alicia, do you have any questions?
I was just going to say, Brian, can you explain if there was an empty lot next to them, mm-hmm. and say I bought the empty lot, put my sewer and electricity in, and decided not to build and sell it, what value would you now place on the lot? Maybe we could explain it that way.
140, 145, considering where things are going. There's still this 5% per year increase. I mean, that is at least 5, 10, 15.
So you'd value that lot even more.
We'd value it even more now.
Because I added.
Because you've added everything that you needed to. And that brings up the value of the lot to where.
What did she add? The utilities?
She's saying that if you add it, and that's what we're saying.
That's $40,000 or $50,000 for
your
utilities.
Your lot has that. That's what we're saying. Your lot already has the utilities set up. That is how we're valuing it. We're taking the basically the sale price. Plus all the mitigation work and the utilities to.
Well, you can't have it both ways. You can't count the utilities as part of the home. If you're going to add the utility improvements to the lot, then you need to back it out of the home. You can't have it both ways.
No. We're looking at sales.
When those people bought a lot for $130,000 and put $50,000 in improvements. That 50 gets added onto the value of the home, and that's what gets insured by the insurer.
Right, and that's
the lot's dirt. It's what's the dirt's worth.
But once you improve it, okay, yeah. you pay $130,000, then you add on $50,000, $60,000 in improvements.
Right.
Now the lot's worth what?
If you sell it as a lot, I agree with the commissioner.
Even if you sold it as your house, you're still going to want that money back.
And it
right?
goes in the home. It's the value of the home. Now the home is worth $250 a square foot, not $180. You're mixing and matching. You can't have it both ways. We're talking about raw dirt.
And that is what I'm saying. The the raw dirt is worth one thing. Improved is worth more. And okay. Yours is improved versus the non, and I'm comparing it to other non-improved lots, or improved lots.
I think we still have a few minutes. Yeah.
No, you've got time. It's 9:20.
Okay.
It's 9:20. This ends it.
Well, I mean, but it's not, we don't have time to answer all those things.
You could ask a quick one.
Well, my quick question would be, it's not quick, never mind.
Okay.
I've got enough information here. And the statements.
All right. So this includes the hearing for petition BE 2021-03 for parcel 126240291. Alders Jeffrey and Margaret Crew. The time is now 9:21. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Crew.
You'll give me an excuse.
All right.
That's my
boy,
and I'm sticking to it.
And we will now hear petition BE 2021-05 for parcel 1184-01088. And the owners Anthony McCarts and Susan Casey were both present. Also present is Monica Crutchfield, the appraiser for the assessor's office. And this is a residential property. And so the timing-wise, the petition is scheduled for 20 minutes. The appellant and the appraiser will each have 5 minutes to highlight points of the evidence they've provided. And the last 10 minutes will be for rebuttal and questions from the board. Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Franklin County Board of Equalization. The board members are Alicia Greenaway, Gregory Garcia, and myself, Joe Crist, as the chair. Our clerk is Jennifer Mendelez. The board is a quasi-judicial body that means having to do with powers that are to some extent judicial as those of certain federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our role is to review the facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the property as of January 1st of the assessment year. The law grants presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the petitioner to prove the assessment is incorrect. The hearing will be recorded and all testimony is under oath. Our clerk will ask you now to affirm your testimony by raising her right hand and taking the oath.
Do each of you who will be testifying today affirm that the testimony you are about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Yes.
Following your hearing, the board will meet to weigh the evidence and make a final determination. We will issue a written decision to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals. And a notice of appeal opportunity is at the bottom of the written decision. The board is in receipt of all documentary data provided by you and the assessor, and we have reviewed it. The appellant will present your case first, and then the assessor will present her case. Please begin with your case.
I provided you, I hope, with several pictures of things that we are now seeing. I understand that you folks use recent sales as a good piece of your determination. And I know that the property is at a premium in Franklin County. However, our increase was 19.75%. And I don't think there is a house more impacted right now by the school, which is directly across the street, or the sale of the Promise Garden, which is the property that we share a driveway with right now. The school population is really increased. Traffic is very difficult in the morning, although I will say that there has been some improvement in the coordination of the lights lately, because the kids aren't jumping out of the cars now to get into the school. When we moved into the house, there was no school, and there is now, of course, a high school.
But the Promise Garden was a supplemental income to gainfully employed people. And it is now, since its sale, the sole source of income for a young family. And we now have 3 to 4 events per week. They are allowed. There is now more of a police presence than there ever was before. These are all things that are going to affect our property values.
We've also had to, both the Promise Garden and us, have had to post private property, no trespassing signs, because of constant influx of people doing looky-loos at the Promise Garden, and also students from across the street coming over to picnic in our front yards and leave all the trash behind in our trees. We've also had in the past people smoking and putting out their cigarettes in our pine needles, which all the pine trees run across the front of our property to try to blanket the noise from the street. So we've...
These are the teachers, not the kids.
Yeah. But we also had some students that came over from CBC when they were doing stuff. But most of the kids have just been lounging, picnicking, hanging out, walking through the property on a very rare, random basis and quite regularly. So we've had to post signs, and even with the posting of signs, there's also been a police action where children came in and took out the signs, kicked them down, and the Promise Garden person caught them, called the police, and now have the different schools trying to actively keep tabs on when kids come across the street and enter our property. So it's just kind of been an escalating issue with the stuff. We also constantly have parents parking in the parking lot out front, even though it's still also private property, and waiting to pick up their kids and sometimes drop off their kids. But the pickup is usually in the afternoon, and there have been times we can't get out of our driveway because
They won't move until their kids get there.
Yeah. And I've been plowing snow in the wintertime already and come out, and because of delivery for the mail service, I plow a big circle so that they could pull in, get one mailbox, turn around, get our mailbox, and then leave. And I've come down already, and the entire thing is packed full of cars waiting for kids to get off from school, and I can't plow so that the mail service can't get in.
I want you to understand, we're not here to complain about the school or the Promise Garden. We're just telling you that these are things that impact the value of our property. It will certainly scare off buyers when they come to view the property when that time comes that we sell.
We are also on the approach and takeoff path for the Pasco Airport. We routinely have the P6 and the P9 flying over our house doing touch and goes. And normally it wouldn't bother me because I really like airplanes, except for because of COVID, I have been working from home. And so I'm sitting on Teams calls, and all of a sudden I can't hear anything because literally the plane is right above the room that I'm in.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Your 5 minutes is finished.
Okay,
sorry.
You need to give the assessor a chance.
Okay. Excuse me. Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for the opportunity to explain our assessment on the subject property located at 8120 West Argent Road. The subject property is a Rambler basement with 1,937 finished square feet on the main level and 1,509 square feet in the basement. There is a wood balcony of 314 square feet and a 676 square feet attached garage. There's also a detached garage over basement with 2,400 square feet on the main level and another 2,400 square feet basement size with a storage mezzanine or loft of 1,165 square feet. If you would please follow me to page 6 through 9, which will show the improvements. Sorry, it's been hard to read this. Which will show the improvements, subject property improvements, along with the sketches for the subject property. I would like to note that in the state of Washington, state law does require the assessors to appraise property at 100% of its true and fair market value in money, according to the highest and best use of the property. you could please follow me to page 13. And if I'm going too fast, please let me know. Page 13 will show our level of assessment is at 96.31%. There were 44 sales that occurred in the subject property's neighborhood that were used to determine the market values. If you would please follow me to page 16 and 17. Here you will find the similar sales that I did provide for our subject property. I would also like to note that the sales comparison approach with direct comparable sales was not used to establish value. The sales were not adjusted for differences nor compared to the subject property to calculate the market value for the subject property. Our current assessment price per square foot is at $227.21 for the subject property. Similar sales I've provided today, range from $180.68 price per square foot to $245.80 price per square foot. The land was extracted from all of the similar sales, including the subject, to show the improvements and what they are selling for price per square foot in the current market. Number four, comparable number four, did happen in 2021. I thought it was important to provide that as well to show that the price per square foot sold for $231.03 and is also walking distance to the subject. I also would like to mention, if I still have time, we want to acknowledge things if we can quantify them in the market. If it's quantified in the market, we do look at those things, and so we want to take them in consideration as far as the school, the location of the school, and traffic. So those are looked at as well. And because we do acknowledge the traffic and the 10% reduction in your land value, but the location or the proximity of the school, we didn't see that. It is not in the market. It's not something that we can quantify and apply in the market.
Are you done, Melissa?
Yes.
Okay. The appellant may ask questions or rebut, and the board can also ask questions.
It's too bad you can't quantify for traffic and or schools across the street when it's constant. When it's constant day in and day out throughout the school year, and also in the summertime, they still continue to have lots of traffic. Literally, there are times we cannot get out of our driveway because there's so much traffic, and trying to get out through multiple lanes and then make a turn for me to go to work. It's very difficult unless I leave quite a bit earlier than normal to make my time at work. Going the other way, it's even worse because of the traffic all the way down to Road 68, which is also tied up. All the lanes all the way through there because of combination of people dropping off kids and buses. So it's one of those things that's too bad it's not capable, or the system isn't capable of adjusting for that kind of thing.
The noise is, you know, we have games, we have bands, we have music playing during games. We have music playing during events from the Promise Garden. It's very disruptive.
And then we also have a lot of kids with hot cars who like to go quickly down Argent to show off for their friends.
Okay. Do the boards have any questions?
No, I'm good.
I did have one other thing. One of the assessor's things that you provided to us had page 2 and page 3. It would have been nice to have had these be the same. First off, one is taxes, and the other one is, well, first one is total value, and the other one is taxes, is to be able to look at them all as one, or, you know, whether or not you could go through and do everything similar so that it flows through.
Try to line it up.
Because right now it's disjunct.
Okay. Well, Monica, do you have anything you want to say?
No, I do not. Thank you very much.
Monica, I have a question for you.
Sure.
I know you said you give an adjustment due to high traffic. It says an influence of minus 10. I assume that's 10%.
That's correct.
How do you evaluate that? Would that value ever be higher or lower, or are you stuck with just one number for it to take into account high traffic?
Well, we are. We did apply this to the Argent Road area to acknowledge that. We do take into consideration, but it is evaluated during our land sale analysis as well. So without lower land sales, that would definitely be something that we would look at, but according, you know, it is acknowledged in the form of a 10% reduction in the land value, because we do want to acknowledge that traffic. And that is throughout the county, to be fair for all.
So is that applied evenly, so all the houses along Argent would receive
yes.
a 10%?
Yes.
Would that
in the designated high traffic zones, yes.
So would the house that you said here, this number 4 sale?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I know you took the land out, but would you also give it a 10%?
Yes, absolutely.
You would?
Yes.
Even when the traffic in front of the high school is much higher than the traffic in front of this other house?
And yes, and again, the other house, the 2021 sale, is directly across the street from Dr. Oliver's, which is a vet. So that sale, even being across the street from his heavy traffic from his business on Argent, it's in walking distance to the subject property. It's still sold for $231.03 price per square foot.
Mm-hmm. That house is 10 blocks away.
It will.
Yeah, and there's no real comparison between Dr. Oliver's traffic and what happens at the high school every day.
I noticed the pictures you gave us didn't show any traffic.
Yes, and I didn't bring my phone in, but I did send... I sent pictures of the police sitting in our yard.
Okay.
I sent pictures of the front of that. That's there, I see. And I should have brought my phone in. The traffic is easily confirmed.
Right.
One just has to try to drive down there at 7:30 in the morning. Yeah. You can see where...
But unfortunately, we're limited
yes.
to what you
Understood.
Provide us. So
Understood.
The evidence you need to give us, if you want to show something, needs to include
okay.
that.
I apologize for not sending you that.
So, Monica, can you, in this high traffic, have you ever provided a higher percentage than 10% for any properties that you've assessed?
Not at this time. Not at this time.
Okay. I don't have any other questions. Any other questions? Okay. Any other questions?
No.
A little bit of time.
In regard to the picture, I can only tell you we are under oath, and
right.
We would not tell you this if it were not true.
Okay. All right. Well, that
Thank
concludes
you.
This hearing. This is hearing BE202106, parcel number 11846.
No.
This one. Excuse me. Correction. This is hearing for appeal BE2021-05, 118. Parcel number 118-401088 for Anthony McKearns and Susan Pacey.
Thank you. Thank you.
The time is 9:58:25.
If we have a long one, we desire cookies. Okay. Or grapes or cheese. I don't know. That one with 19?
The time is now 10 o'clock, and we are beginning the petition for BE 2021-06.
Mike Crutchfield, the appraiser from the assessor's office present, and the owners of the property, the Richardsons, are not present at this time. This is a residential petition, and scheduled for 20 minutes. The appraiser will have 5 minutes to highlight her points of evidence that she's provided. And then in the last 15 minutes, we will have her questions with the board or the board or if it has anything else to add.
Okay. Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to the Franklin County Board of Equalization. The board members are Alicia Greenaway, Gregory Garcia, and myself, Joe Christ, as the chair. Our clerk is Jennifer Mendelez. The board is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers that are to some extent judicial, as those of certain federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our role is to review the facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the property as of January 1 of the assessment year. The law grants presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the petitioner to prove the assessment is wrong. The hearing will be recorded and all testimony is under oath. Our clerk will ask you now to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
All right. Do you, Monica, who will be testifying today, one of the appraisers, affirm that the testimony you are about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Following your hearing, the board will meet to weigh the evidence and make a final determination. We will issue a written decision to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals, and a notice of the appeal opportunity is at the bottom of the written decision. The board is in receipt of all documentary data provided by you and the assessor, and we have reviewed it. Since the appellant is not here, you may begin with your case, Monica.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
The subject property that we are hearing today is 7813 Agate Court. This is a one-story home with 2,411 square feet with a bonus room of 391 square feet and two covered porches, one with 284 square feet and another one with 74 square feet. It also has an attached garage of 914 square feet and a 24-by-12 shed and an in-ground swimming pool. If you would please follow me to page 6 and 7, which will show the subject property's photo and sketch. I would like to mention in the state of Washington, state law requires the assessors appraise property at 100% of its true and fair market value in money according to the highest and best use of the property. If you would please follow me to page 11. This will show the level of assessment for our subject property, which is 96.31%. We have a total of 44 sales that happened in the subject property's neighborhood that were used to set values. If you would please follow me to page 14, where I have provided the similar sales to our subject. The sales comparison approach with direct comparable sales was not used to establish value. The sales were not adjusted for differences nor compared to the subject property to calculate the market value for the subject property. I'd like to note that the assessment price per square foot is currently at $227.58, and the sales that I have provided that are similar to our subject property range from $248.47 and to as high as $269.12 price per square foot. And that concludes my evidence.
Okay.
Thank you.
Does the board have any questions?
Yeah. Monica, is this a rental?
I'm sorry, is that what the question was? No. From what I understand, this is an owner-occupied property. I haven't been given any information that it is not.
Because I know that your address is a rental.
Well, this is a residential analysis, if you will. So we are not...
Could they live there, but they have a few blocks?
They could, yeah, very well. Uh-huh. Yes.
He might work there and just pick up his mail over there.
Alicia, do you have any questions?
No. Mm-hmm. I'm good.
I don't have any questions either. Thank you.
Thank you.
That concludes this hearing. This concludes petition BE202106 for parcel number 118462105 for John E. and Susan Richardson. The time is now 10:06. These are the final decisions of the board regarding petition number BE202103 for parcel number 126240291. The petitioner's name is Jeffrey and Margaret Krug. The board decided to reduce the assessor's value from $533,400 to $520,850. The value of the land will be reduced to $125,550, and the value of the improvements will be sustained at $395,300. The board's decision is based on the following. Based on the evidence provided, the homeowner demonstrated that their property did not have a river view as asserted by the assessor's documentation on page 5 of his evidence packet. The board determined that the assessor incorrectly applied a river view adjustment of $12,550 to the property's value that was not accurately reflected by his analysis. While by law the assessor is given the position of correctness, in this case the board disagreed with the assessor's analysis and therefore reduced the owner's property value by the amount of the assessor's river view's adjustment, which was $12,550. However, the owner did not provide evidence that the assessor's analysis that increased the land's value was in total error. This concludes the board's judgment for petition number BE2021-03 on November 12, 2021. The board's decision regarding petition number BE2021-05 for parcel number 118401088 for petitioner name Anthony McCarnes and Susan Pacey, the board decided to sustain the assessor's value of $668,300 and is based on the following reasons. The board found that the assessor's value was fair and accurate and reflected the current market value. The assessor also reduced the assessed value by factoring in the traffic situation in front of the property due to the proximity of Chiawana High School. The board determined that insufficient evidence was provided by the homeowner to show where the assessor was in error. The homeowner also failed to provide evidence that the sale of the Promise Garden adjacent to their property had any adverse impact on their property value. This concludes the board's judgment for petition number BE2021-05 on November 12, 2021. The board's decision for petition number BE2021-06, parcel number 118462105, petitioner's name John and Susan Richardson, the board decided to sustain the assessor's value of $548,700 and is based on the following. The board found that the assessor's value was fair and accurate and reflected the current market value. The board determined that insufficient evidence was provided by the homeowner to show how the assessor was in error. Simply stating that the increase was difficult to understand or that it did not represent a fair and reasonable increase due to current market conditions is not sufficient to show how the assessor was in error. Using statistical analysis, the assessor demonstrated that the assessed value fell within the acceptable range of his ratio study and was also supported by reviews of 3 comparable sales in the West Pasco neighborhood. This concludes the board's judgment for petition number BE2021-06 on November 12, 2021.
The meeting for November 12th, 2021 is now adjourned.